You're the big, big boss. You tell me what to do, and I gladly do my job. But I don't like your attitude.
Totally. You know, in tech, I'll say there's sort of two kinds of companies. Maybe they all think culture is the number one important. And so the one kind is sort of startups who easy to hire, easy to fire. And when you can get people in and out, then you can sort of rotate people through until you find culture fits and you keep them, and culture non-fits move on. And so that's sort of the startup, like, entrepreneurial world. And that's a little bit more like the SEALs probably, where for every person coming in, there's someone going out, right? Then you have sort of the legacy company, maybe the bigger companies, easy to hire, impossible to fire.
Okay.
And so now you have a team where maybe you have 10 or 15 people and there's not culture fits on the team, but you can't get rid of them.
Now tell me, who do you think you are? Besides a person who happens to be in charge.
Welcome back to the Leadership in Tech podcast. Today is episode number 59, What is Your Culture? In today's episode, Zach and Errol discuss culture. What is it? What does it mean when people say they want to change the culture? Is it right to force your culture on other people? And how often do we already do it without realizing? How does culture affect everything from your home, your workplace, even the behavior of a UFC fighter like Conor McGregor? This episode was recorded on October 6, 2018, a few hours before the McGregor-Khabib fight that ended in a win for the still undefeated Khabib. Listen in as the guys expound on all this and more in Leadership in Tech Podcast Season 3, Episode Number 59, What is Your Culture? Brought to you by the Technology On-Ramp. If you want to know more about the show or the nonprofit, the Technology On-Ramp, go to www.techonramp.com. And if you want to know more about the companies that make this show possible, go to www.salt.io or www.leader193.com. Stay with us after the show for more info, links, and our show credits. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Maybe you got lucky, maybe you worked real hard, and just maybe that doesn't make you smart.
All right. My voice might sound a little different today because I'm so nervous about the fight tonight.
Khabib McGregor. Let's just start there.
Why are we recording a podcast just 5 hours before the biggest fight of all time?
To release the nervous energy. This is the biggest fight until GSP comes back and faces the winner at 155.
Which either one. Khabib, GSP would be amazing.
That's right.
I mean, that would literally be...
It would trump this fight as the biggest
fight. The greatest fight of all time. Yes. And also, you know, GSP and McGregor would be interesting.
I've barely seen Khabib fight.
Same.
I just see him mauling people. I see him 26-0, but I don't recognize any of the names really on that list.
That's why Conor McGregor says he's an amateur.
Do you? I mean, like, I haven't even looked them up. Do you recognize the names on the list?
Yeah, just the last couple. But
like, who?
He doesn't have the resume. However, Edson Barbosa, Ally Quinta. He doesn't have the resume, but if you see him, like, there's sparring videos with him and, like, Luke Rockhold, and he's, like, out-wrestling Luke Rockhold.
Oh, Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold, where is he? He got a lucky spin kick in on Weidman.
They're fighting again in next
Good.
Month.
Weidman's going to massacre him.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little nervous. I'm not
All right. ready. I've got McGregor by knockout in the first or second.
Same.
Yeah?
In every way.
Yeah. Because I think that even if Khabib gets him down, Conor McGregor's ground game is going to be far better than Khabib thinks.
And he gets back up.
And he gets back up at some point or survives.
You see the Chad Mendes fight replaying.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And he's better now on the ground than he was against Chad Mendes. Well, and he had the ACL. Right?
Yeah, totally. I believe Khabib will not even get him down.
I believe that too.
Yeah.
I believe that too. The only problem is, and Khabib could survive too, and then you start going into third, fourth, fifth round.
Yeah. Although he's running again.
McGregor can say whatever he wants. He survived five rounds with Nate Diaz. That was a boxing match.
Right.
Okay. It wasn't on the ground.
Totally. But I think McGregor took a couple years off from the running. And, you know, I think it's hard and his cardio dipped. If you don't run, I'm sorry. But.
Yeah. Running is a constant. Running's like water. You want good cardio.
You're going
to
be hydrated.
Have to run. Yeah.
You're going to be hydrated. You have to drink.
You have to drink, right. Like, water never goes out of style. And I really don't think running goes out of style.
He's back to running because I think he knew, like, this cycling isn't going to cut it.
No, cycling does not cut it.
No.
Just pounding the pavement cuts it, okay? Because you can glide cycling.
I think when he hurt his knee, he got off of it. And he was convinced himself cycling and rowing and stuff could cover, but... I mean, that's all good, but you got to run. All right, what are we talking about?
Culture, baby. Culture, definition, right out of the book. Set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterizes an institution or organization. The characteristic features of everyday existence shared by people in a place or time. So... We talk about cult, right? It's just another one of those words that's thrown around. You want to change the culture.
It's like super popular these last couple of years.
Super popular, right? And even me, right? I create a leadership culture. But I feel like I know what I mean by that. I feel like people aren't sure when they say we have to change the culture. So really the definition is just a bunch of things that you do to make it, that make up a culture. Culture comes down to this is how we do business. It's a series of things.
All right. So why are we talking about it? Why is it? I mean, I know it's important because like every company says their number one goal is to either have a culture or change a culture, keep right. a culture or change a culture.
Yeah.
So why are we coming off of emotions and running into culture?
Because, okay, remember we're talking about the accountability funnel. So we talked about accountability initially, right? And then
we talk about accountability as being one of the hardest things in the world to like get right for regular people like me who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. And it's another term that's thrown around. We're going to hold them accountable. But what we talked about was accountability is nothing more than having people answer for their actions. Right? You're just be answerable for what you did. And we don't ask people, we don't ask them to be answerable for what they did because a lot of times we're afraid to ask them, why did you do this? The most basic question. But once you ask that question, you've just held them accountable by definition. And, you know, once again, the difference between accountability and consequence are different, okay? They're not the same. I held you accountable by firing you. No, that was a consequence of holding somebody. Maybe you held them accountable, but maybe you just fired them. But the point is, as we talk about the accountability funnel, you can't hold somebody accountable if they don't know what they're supposed to be held accountable to. You have to tell them, this is what we're accountable to. Now, we started with emotions because we've got to start with ourselves. We've got to answer for our own actions. We've got to answer, and our actions are driven by our emotions. Okay, so that's how we start. And that is a... Boom, we just held ourselves accountable by identifying emotions, by understanding that there's a space between that initial impulse and that action that we need to fill the void. Okay, so that's why we started with emotions and that personal thing. So now we talk about culture as a series of things. This kind of starts still the very broad phase of that funnel, right? Ourself is a very broad topic at the very large whole of the opening of the funnel, and now so is culture because it's a series of little things. So, you know, I you laughed when I said, let's talk about Conor McGregor and his personal culture, because I think we can now start combining personal culture, professional culture, culture at home, culture at work. You know, what does it all mean? So when you say to somebody, what is your culture?
I love that. What is your culture?
What's your culture? What's your, because it's a series of things.
So a culture is a series of actions or things I do or believe in or I do.
A characteristic feature, the characteristic features of everyday existence shared by people in a place or time.
So it's like what I do every day is my culture.
A set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices. It's what you believe and it's what you do.
All right.
So everybody has a culture. The question is, have you defined it? Have you sat back and said, what is my culture?
Yeah, like, so for me, it's like I feel pretty good about a personal culture, if you're calling it that. But then, like, leading a team, do I transfer my values from my personal culture to the team? Whole different story.
Yeah. So, and the, you know, you might think about it and go, well, but I can't push my values on other people. That's not right. That's
I
not
definitely get that. I just had that momentary doubt. I was like, are you even supposed to do that?
Yes. But the answer is yes, because you are the leader of something. You have to project something to these people. You have to project something. You are pushing your values on your children. You're pushing your values on people who enter your home, right? You don't let somebody come in and spray paint your home. It's kind of an extreme example. Well, that's not how we do business around here. What is that? Right?
Right.
Somebody came into your house and started disrespecting your wife, but you need to go.
Totally.
That's a personal culture. And you're projecting that on somebody else. The point is, that's your house. You're the leader of that house. You get to do that. You get to ask them to leave. Just like when you're working, you are in charge. You have to set a series of things to establish your culture. And because you are the leader, that is not a right, it's a responsibility. And that's what people think, like, well, you're power hungry. No, no, it's your responsibility to set what the things that make up our culture are.
There's so much stuff in there. These are like the thing, I mean, this is everything, right?
But you get, so I feel like your fear right now, not fear.
I don't have a fear.
Yeah, you're, when you think about this, the trepidation of this conversation is, well, I don't want to push myself and what I believe on other people. I want them to be their own person.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. Me too.
I want you to be you, Errol.
That's right. Within the things that make up the culture of the company that you lead.
Right.
Okay.
Wait, so you're saying at Leader 193, I have to fit in your culture, and at Salt, you have to fit into mine.
That's right.
Just like it, when I go to your house, my kids have to follow your rules. When you come to my house, your kids have to follow mine.
Right. We get to say, you know, no diving in the shallow end in our pool.
Personal culture.
That's, you know, that's a safety thing. We believe in the safety of the pool. And if you don't like it, you don't have to come in the pool. You know, just dive in.
I get to say, you can only bring two of your dogs at any one
exactly,
time.
Exactly. But that's right. Because Haskell, your dog, will fight all of them, and we just don't need that.
Yes. All right, so personal culture. All right, so Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people don't like him. I happen to like him. Yes, I don't think he should have thrown the dolly through the...
No, I honestly... Okay. Would you expect the window to shatter like that of a bus? I thought those were unbreakable.
I was surprised it didn't go through.
Oh, so you think that it was going
to... I thought I was like...
I thought it was going to bounce off like it was like bulletproof glass or something.
God, I don't know. But...
So yeah, throwing was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, so look, I'm not... You know, Conor McGregor has his issues. I wish he'd, you know, maybe stop telling everybody to F off. You know, but whatever. But what is... If you get him in a serious moment... What does he talk about? He just talks about the belief in himself. He talks about, I never doubted my ability. He just talks about...
he talks about him not being the most talented, that he works the hardest.
Right.
And so it's not like God-given. Like, he works the hardest and he believes in his work, in his training,
Yeah, I mean, look, that's part of his culture, right? That it's, he works so hard, but he also believes, and that's part of the culture. He believes, without a question, because I work this hard, because I'm obsessed, because I have all these things, I will get what I want.
Totally.
That's a culture, you know? I get asked a lot the SEAL culture. I finally, you know, I do this thing, right? We talk about the SEAL culture. And I, you know, I go through from World War II and, you know, up until today and everything in between. And it's awesome. And it's, you know, we can do that type of thing. And somebody finally asked me, well, what are the things that made up the SEAL culture? Nobody had ever asked me that before. And we didn't walk into the SEAL teams and say, like, there's not a list of things.
You don't get, like, handed a thing.
You don't get a hand in a thing and say, okay, here's our culture. Here's the list of things. It's been established. And you walk in. And you understand, oh, I see, we get judged on how calm we remain in chaotic situations. Got it. Now, how do I know that? Because maybe I was not calm during something and somebody just said, well, what is that? Get control of yourself. That was quick. You get it. Nobody says no. All right, hey, here's something that needs to happen. The first response is never no. The first response is always yes. Default, yes. And now we're going to go through a very methodical process to see, yeah, we can do this. Things have to go right for us, but we're good enough. Right? Kind of that Conor McGregor. Yeah, we work hard at jumping out of airplanes. We work hard at shooting. We work hard at our navigation. We work hard at land warfare. We work hard at hand-to-hand combat. We work hard at all of these things. So, oh, we just have to get all of these things right? Yeah, no problem. That's a culture. That's a culture of hard work. That's a culture of, you know, and if we say no, which I've never been, well, I have been part of something that said no, but it's painfully obvious. Like everybody else is like, well, you should have said no 2 days ago. I can't even believe you guys were going to even try to do this. But when we say no, we say, here's the reasons why. And it always makes sense. So default, yes, things can be done. There's always a way to get it done. Emotions under control all the time. Like I've talked about, now we get to what is a culture? A culture is when I do something, you reprimand me by saying, hey, that's not how we do business around here. And I go, oh, yeah, you're right. And I know what you mean. You know, and I know you're getting there at SALT. I know you're getting there. I you know, because we work together and we talk about things. I mean, do you feel like you're getting there?
Yeah, totally. We're moving in the right direction.
Right. You could say to some people, it's not how we do business. And they'd be like, oh. They may not agree with you, but they know what you mean.
I mean, someday. It's a marathon, not a sprint, right?
No doubt. You can't. No, it is.
I mean, how long did it take the SEALs to establish their culture?
You know, yeah. I mean.
And how many people got kicked out of the SEALs because they didn't abide by the culture? And the people that stayed, they stayed because they abided.
There's always a fine line, right? When you say, I can do anything. Conor McGregor, right? He's a perfect example. SEAL team's a perfect example. When you say, I can do anything, you start to take that, and this is a good example, into your personal. You start to take that everywhere. I can do anything. I can do anything. And sometimes it's just not appropriate to drive that in some places. You know what I mean? Like Conor McGregor, I can do anything. I can pick up this dolly and throw it through the window.
Right. And then it goes over the line.
Yeah. Sometimes it goes over the line.
Well, so they say about Khabib, who's Conor's opponent, obviously, that he's like never lost a round in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like his personal culture is you're always winning at all times. All right, let's tie this.
So, all right, so look, I mean, personal culture, Conor McGregor, he has that personal culture. He brings that probably to his team. You know,
oh, yeah, everywhere he goes,
Probably to his family.
Right.
And so that's like one of the questions. Is there a difference to your personal culture and the culture you create around you as a leader? And it's a good question for everybody to contemplate.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll tell you for myself, like, so from working with you, I know I know that I'm supposed to take my personal culture and do it at work, but I still do find myself feeling like I should incorporate facets of other people's personal cultures in the team. So it's like, you know, you got to bring yourself to the table, but you wonder if it should be like a mix of the team.
But that's a lot. That's part of your culture. That's part of your culture to say, I want a lot of inclusion on this thing. It's not my way or the highway. These are the only things. And I'm not suggesting, right, my way or the highway. I'm just suggesting
a way.
A way. And what part of your way is to say, what's your way?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But you got to agree with the people's
ways. Right. Yeah. You have, of course you have
to adapt into one sort of thing. Totally. You know, so in like tech, I'll say there's sort of two kinds of companies. Maybe they all think culture is the number one important. And so the one kind is sort of startups who easy to hire, easy to fire. And when you can get people in and out, then you can sort of rotate people through until you find culture fits and you keep them and culture non-fits move on. And so that's sort of the startup, like, entrepreneurial world. And that's a little bit more like the SEALs, probably, where for every person coming in, there's someone going out, right? Then you have sort of the legacy company, maybe the bigger companies, easy to hire, impossible to fire.
Okay.
And so now you have a team where maybe you have 10 or 15 people, and there's not culture fits on the team, but you can't get rid of them. And so...
But why can't you get, like, I still don't understand.
Well, some companies can't fire people.
I guess. But, you know, that whole thing about firing people, it's still, you know, it comes down to culture.
I mean, this is just what I think when people think about culture, they go to that in the tech world. Now, I'm not saying it's the right thing to go to.
So tell me again what...
You either work at a company that's easy to hire, easy to fire.
Okay.
And so culture change seems doable. Setting a culture seems doable because you can, if there's not a culture fit, if there, you
right.
know,
okay.
What was our episode? Rick, the rock star coder, you know, gone. And you keep the people that are culture fits.
Yeah.
And you have the companies that are easy to hire, impossible to fire. And so now you have not culture fits. How do you impose a culture on a team that's filled with non-culture fits?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
You, I think, have a solution for both. Like, it doesn't matter because it's about accountability and this funnel.
Right.
But for people like me who are still learning, that's what we break it down to. If I'm at an easy to hire, easy to fire, I have a chance. If I'm at an easy to hire, impossible to fire, my culture is screwed.
Yeah, I mean that, right. That's true. I mean, but I guess that, like, that's a whole other topic about these companies who can't fire anybody. I mean, or won't fire anybody.
Imagine if the SEALs couldn't fire anyone.
Right. And there's not a lot of firing in the SEAL teams because that culture's set up front early.
Impossible to hire.
It's right. It's impossible to hire.
Right.
You know, and that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
And so I don't think companies can't fire people. I think companies won't fire people. And there's a difference. They're afraid. They're afraid of their own shadow. They've become afraid of litigation and allegations, and they don't want to fight it. Well, good. You get what you earn. That's your culture. Do you want to come in here?
The culture of fear.
Yeah. Come in here and do anything you want because we're afraid. Call us a name. Accuse us of something. We won't even defend ourselves. Right? I mean, so that's what, but this is a great conversation because this goes to every place has a culture. The successful cultures define it. The unsuccessful ones give lip service to it, you know, whatever it is. But what's also weird is it's these big, massive companies who, like, how do they get so big and massive with this awful culture? Like, I don't even, that I haven't broken down.
Imagine at one time the culture wasn't awful.
It, obviously, you know, it was, the culture was probably great because we're growing, we're excited, we're doing these things. And now here's another company, let's buy it. And then the next
there,
thing
you
know,
just hit it. Yeah.
You know, and now we've gotten so big.
I mean, imagine if you merged Leader 193 and Salt, it would be a nightmare. right? You just have culture clash.
Culture clash. So what's the, I guess the real question, the real challenge for everybody is, have you defined your own culture?
Your personal culture.
Your personal culture. If you have, check it against the culture that you do as a leader, right? Is it the same? I think most people are going to be surprised to see that it's the same. They think it's different, but it's the same. People are like, no, I'm different at work than I am at home. And my response is, no, you're not. Just because you have beers at home and you laugh and roll around with your kids and you don't do that.
There's actually no laughing in my house.
Right. There's no laughing at salt either. Right. No, that's not true. But you know what I mean? Like, just because you don't have beers and roll around with your coworkers at work doesn't mean it's different. Like, that's ridiculous, you know. But if you think about your struggle to ask somebody, why did you do that? You know, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm partially right. What do you think? I mean, as you talk about, you know, you want to make sure that people have their own styles and you want to bring their culture into salt and the work. I don't know, extrapolate that over to your family. Is it the same? Because I think it's, you know, it's not good, bad, or different. It's just the question is it the same? I always contend that you're going to find your personal culture and your work culture are the same.
I totally think so. I totally think so. I think in tech, like, I think tech people are like starving for leadership, right? And so if people are going to stand up and lead, their personal culture is what you go with.
Right.
I think you just have to get over it, like have the confidence to believe that it's your personal culture for a reason.
Yeah.
And you want to share it with other people.
If we do things this way, it'll be good. It'll be hard because great cultures are built on generally things that are hard to do. We tell the truth. You know what I mean? Like, well, yeah, duh. No, not duh. How many organizations have you gone into and people are half-truthing all the way around just to make themselves look good or worse, make somebody else look bad? Like, no. But when you say half-truths are against the rules, and if I catch you in a half-truth, there's consequences. And consequences might be you are fired, no questions. That was my consequence because I couldn't have it. It just made me ill. And maybe somebody else thinks, yeah, that's important, but it's not something that I'm going to put forward as part of my culture, right? And that's fine. And that's what it comes down to, what's important to us. If you think about your family culture, and if you're not, you know, if you don't have a family, right, you're a single guy or girl, whatever, you still have a family. You still
your
have
friends, your close
your friends, the people around you. You know what I mean? What's that culture against the team that you lead culture? Is it similar?
Yeah, I mean, I think even just maybe an exercise for the listener is to write down what your personal culture is, right? To like just take stock, because we're coming from emotions in the self-assessment.
Yeah,
right. We looked at ourselves. We realize emotions drive our actions. What is our personal culture?
Yeah, and it can start right there. Our personal culture is we check our emotions. We are conscious of how we feel and how we respond and how we're conscious of other people's feelings, right? That can start it. And that's now what the rest of the accountability funnel does. It starts to narrow down elements that make up a culture. And, you know, we're going to talk about the ones that I think are important, the ones that you think are important. Those aren't the ones that somebody else thinks are important.
So what's the next episode? What's the next step from here?
I think the next, we're going to talk about the science of change. All right, we're going to start bringing some guests in, and we're going to talk about something called neuroplasticity. And we say to ourselves, all right, yeah, I agree that these things make up a good culture. To be able to ask somebody, answer, or to be able to approach somebody and say, answer for your action. Some people will say, and to your point, in technology, they have trouble with that. It's not in my DNA. It's not how I'm wired.
And totally.
We get to talk next about how, yeah, you're born with a certain set of wiring, but now science tells us it can be changed.
I love it.
It can be changed. So, right? This is how.
So there's hope for me.
There's hope for our listeners. Okay, there's not. I don't know how much hope is here. So yeah, so that's what, you know. Look, that's where we are, right? We're self-assessment, emotions, understanding emotions drive our actions. There's a space between the impulse and the action. And now, all right, I got that. Now, what's next? What's my culture? What is culture? Culture is a series of little things that make up how we do business. We have to define those things because that's what accountability is. Defining what we are holding people accountable to, or holding accountable to a culture that is made up of all these things. And yes, you can change because science says so, not enthusiasm say so. This is not a, you can do it. No, this is like, that's good. But science says, no, the brain can be rewired.
Boom. All right.
McGregor in two.
Peace.
We hope you enjoyed episode number 59, What is Your Culture? From the Leadership in Tech Podcast, Season 3. This episode was recorded midday, October 6, 2018. The Leadership in Tech Podcast is brought to you by the Technology OnRamp. For more about the Leadership in Tech Podcast and the Technology OnRamp, go to www.TechOnRamp.com. You can find all of our episodes there, as well as our blog, info on our nonprofit, The Tech OnRamp, and much more. This show is available on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play Music, SoundCloud, Player FM, and anywhere you might listen to podcasts. For more about the companies involved in making this possible, check out Salt.io at www.salt.io and Leader193 at www.leader193.com. Tune in next Thursday for the next episode of the Leadership in Tech Podcast. Leadership in Tech is brought to you by the Technology OnRamp, associated and sponsored in part by Salt.io and Leader193. The show is co-hosted by Zachary Ruiz and Errol Dobler. The intros and outros are hosted by Paul Maslany. The production is handled by Paul Maslany as well as Kara Wood. Our RSS host is SoundCloud. Go there to give us a rating, or go to rate us or review us on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. Yeah.
the big, big boss. Tell me what to do, and I'd gladly do my job. But I don't like your attitude. I don't like your attitude.